Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Canadian Bowler. How's it going today, Daryl?
It's going pretty good. It's been a good couple weeks, I think, especially for us and the channel. So I'm excited to get this show rolling.
Yeah, it's been a nice little couple weeks there of growth. A couple of our videos have taken off and really helping us with that goal of 1,000 that we set. I guess for segueing directly into that, just before we get going, just a reminder to anyone here to like, comment, subscribe on the videos if you can today. As we said, we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers before the end of the year. We've moved much closer, I guess, than we probably anticipated a couple months back. We're, I think, sitting at about 933 or 34 when I looked this morning. So. Yeah. We're slowly moving towards that 1,000. So any subscribe, like, comment helps us out here because, as we've said in the past, usually about 5% of the people who actually watch our videos end up subscribing. So if you're able to, please hit that button. Helps us out immensely because really does help get Lomboling content out there to the people who want to see it. If you aren't able to catch the show live here, we do go on podcast platforms, usually from the week after the show. So if you aren't able to catch the show today, you can either watch it on YouTube, probably be up there tomorrow, and then it would also be available any of the major podcast platforms within the next few days.
Mike, I wanted to just kick off the show. As many of our viewers may know, Mike and I are new dads. It's quite an adventure for the first couple months. I think Winnie is now 2 months old. How have the first 2 months been for you?
It's been an experience, to say the least. Lots of sleepless nights, and then you get to experience all those different horror stories you see in the movies where exploding diapers and all that fun stuff. So it's definitely a part of life that you eventually get to experience once you're a father, but it's been great. I loved it. How have you been enjoying it?
It's been awesome. Like you, a lot of the horror stories happen. You know, you get that really big diaper, or you get the crying in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep. And, you know, first priority is to make sure the baby's okay. And you just suffer through every single sleepless night and lost hour of sleep. But I can say, everything has been amazing. Like every time that Ethan looks up and smiles at me, it's all worth it.
Yeah, I think that smile is probably the one thing you're always shooting for, just to make them happy or giggle at something stupid that you do. So definitely the best part.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess we can get into sort of our first topic that we wanted to get at. It's pretty much about results. So we got bowling going on in Canada, obviously. We're getting near the end of the season though, but there was some pretty important events that have recently happened. So friend of the show, Roger Smith from Quebec, reminded me that there was the Atlantics last weekend, I believe, out in I think they had in New Brunswick this year. So there were some results from there. So for the Atlantics, the women's side, I guess if I'm covering the results directly there, we got Quebec B ended up winning the women's triples. That was Carolyn McGarr, Muffin Hoodsmith, and Denise Stojda. Sorry if I butchered that name. Second place was Amy Spence, Brenda Carr, Biz Gauthier. And third place was Quebec A, Donna LeBlanc, Mila Seshteva, and Norma Cassidy. And then the men's side, Quebec B was Gilles Dessert, Venance Basque, and Maurice Beauchamp. And then second place was Braden Campbell, Cameron Lefrenne, and Mike Stewart. And third place was PEI with Ivan Doucette, Charlie Reed, Scott Spence. So looking at a few of the photos I saw, it looked like they had a good time there. I've never personally been to New Brunswick for bowls, but I know a couple of the there was a U25s and juniors there, the one year I didn't end up making, that it was a good event out there. So I'm sure they had fun, and it's always great to see that they're still able to keep that event going this year, specifically with all the restrictions and everything that are in place.
Yeah, and I guess does that mean Quebec won overall?
I guess that would be what it indicates. The website they have here doesn't seem to really give me the full, like, oh, I guess winner overall Memorial Trophy Quebec. Yeah, it says at the bottom there. So nice. Now that I'm seeing it underneath the picture, it's indicating that they ended up winning the overall. So yeah, good for them. Quebec joining in, getting that that win, because I know they were the sort of the late joiners of Atlantic Bowls after Newfoundland fell off. So again, very happy that they were able to get that event played this year, because I know it means a lot to the people who ended up playing out in that area.
Yeah, I'll second that. The eastern side of Canada, with Nova Scotia, Quebec, New Brunswick, and PEI specifically, there's not a lot that goes past Ontario these days with nationals and all that. So they have to travel a lot if they want to get any major competition. So it's really nice that they have something that's just their own. They can compete. And good on Quebec. I know Quebec's been struggling with you know, the size of their membership and, you know, keeping the sport alive in that province. So it's really good that they get that win and show that Quebec still has a lot of kick left in them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting next year, see how these teams, a few of them, end up at nationals, because I know, I think Braden Campbell, for one, I know he qualified for nationals in the fours, and I think a couple of those other teams have also qualified too, so probably a bit of a practice or getting them some more experience, maybe playing. Looked like Braden was skipping that team over Cameron, so that might have been getting him a little more experience playing the back end and everything like that. So good sort of development event, good for them for next year.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I guess the other results we wanted to sort of touch on was Phoenix Bowls last weekend. So
yeah, had a lot of fun. We streamed that. So if you missed our live stream of the Phoenix Bowls, or the Phoenix Championship of Bowls, I want to get that name right, check out our YouTube channel. There's a playlist with all of our content for both the first stream, which wasn't so great, and then the second stream, which was much better. And you can see we've broken them down into games, so you can go and check out your favorite teams, some really cool games. There's some pretty fantastic shots that are hidden in there if you can find them. So definitely a really cool event. And yeah, Mike, if you've got the results, let's go.
Okay, so I guess I did watch a few of the streams there. I quite enjoyed listening to you give your commentary. It was entertaining, considering you were running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Sorry that I couldn't make it all the way from Saskatchewan to help you out. The winner of it ended up being David Anderson and Fred Walbank, so was pretty good final. I watched the final and the semifinal both. Semifinal, they ended up beating his longtime teammates of theirs, or one of them, I guess, Steve McCarahan with Mark Sanford. Mark hasn't really played with him as much, but again, Steve was always a major teammate of Dave and Fred's. In the final, they beat Ben Rockman and David Llewellyn. It was actually a fairly close game. I enjoyed watching it for the first little bit, and then it kind of looked like it got a bit of a hand near the end. So it was still a good match. Looked like the games that you posted there, I've watched about half of them myself just to see the different teams, because there were some names I've never seen before or never recognized. So I gave a couple of those videos a watch, and quite an interesting format to see how the different teams play and how they kind of enjoyed that format or played it together.
Yeah, I'll say it's a very interesting format. The event is really well run. It was small this year in both instances of it. They did one a little earlier and then this last one. But like I've been telling everybody that's asked, and I'll tell you, the viewers, right now, if you have a chance to play in it, if you even have an inkling that this might be fun, go out and give it a try. It's something brand new. It's something really unique. The scoring format may take you a game to get used to, but after that, you'll be perfectly fine with it. And the chance to try some new strategy, have a little fun, and play against some really, really great bowlers, I mean, why not take that chance?
Yeah, like if it works out for me, I definitely will jump in on one of those tournaments when I'm out there. Like, I plan to be in Ontario next summer, assuming that everything's back to normal. And if it kind of works out with my timeline being there for a few weeks and sort of that July range, it's definitely something I want to jump in on because it looked like a fun format to play, and I think it's probably something that can be really expanded upon and sort of playing those multiple games, kind of lots of play in one day would be a fun idea to really encounter or play for the first time.
Yeah, they're really quick games, which is cool. I think when I broke up all the videos into matches, most of them ran between half hour to 40 minutes, maybe, at the max. And it's five ends, it's pairs, open pairs, so you play with whoever you want to. So just a lot of great things going for it, and I really hope that people come out and support it, and we can grow it. It'd be great.
Yeah, that's the idea. I think the first year here is probably a little bit of a feeling out process for them running it, because obviously with the pandemic and everything, it's not easy to get a new tournament off bat, new format, all the fun stuff that kind of goes with that. But I think now that they sort of have the framework in place, and I think a lot of people, if they have played in it or seen the videos, they're going to probably be encouraged to maybe come give it a try next year. So hopefully onwards and upwards, and more people, more, I guess a bigger event, that'd be great.
Yeah, and you can come out and see celebrities like Mike Batuli.
Yeah, we'll see. If I got my... I might be a celebrity next year if I can keep my beard going to then and maybe have it down to my waist or something like that. So, me watching the videos, the one thing I wanted to sort of get into with the Phoenix, the strategy of the game, I had a lot of, like, as a coach watching it, I kind of had a little bit of a critique in my mind going on where a lot of people didn't seem to play the strategy as optimal as I saw it or the best way to play it. So when you were watching it, would you say that there's a tendency for teams to be probably over aggressive when they're playing it, rather than like when I was watching it, like the scoring system, you get 3 points for second shot, 2 points for third shot. A lot of the occasions a team would have second and third, and they would throw weight like needlessly, and they don't have backing or something like that. So there's times where I saw a lot of teams making suboptimal shot decisions, just trying to get shot pull rather than maybe playing for like an even end. So what's your opinion on that system?
That's a good point. I mean, obviously I was there commentating on a bunch of the games, and there is a tendency to think aggressive is better. It might be that the shot in a person's mind is worth 10 points. So it's like, you know, if I get that first shot 10 points, it makes my end for me. So that's all I need. That's all I'm really concerned about. But getting that second and third, even if you don't have shot, I think is really key. And with the scoring system, having the lead play really, really well can make or break your game. Getting that 3 points just to kick off the end when you transition from lead to skip, massive. And if they're playing really, really well and they can get you even one toucher out of it, I mean, you're just stacking points on points on points on points. So I think the aggressiveness was a little too much at times, trying to pick out that one shot or trying to move things around. And it oftentimes you don't really know how it's going to work out if you miss that shot. So I think strategy might be something that needs to be developed, and people need to really get some experience under it to actually understand what's the best way to play this format.
Yes, I guess if it's the first time for a lot of people playing it, you might not really, I guess, know the ins and outs of it and realize, I guess, in your mind that, oh, I'm going to essentially be down 1 point over the span of this end, assuming there was no touchers. But as you sort of touched on yourself, being the lead, that's a format I would love to really experience, where I've played predominantly lead in my life. And a lot of the times you can have a great game, be all over it, but then maybe the other skip, or if you're playing fours, the third, whoever it is, they sort of change the heads up, obviously, and then your bulls don't end up counting or mattering kind of in the end. And so I feel this format actually would be a great one for kind of making your front end players maybe feel like they're contributing a little bit more, because if you're scoring after the front end players are done, it definitely adds some more pressure to them to perform as well, because it can't just be your skip essentially carrying your team to a quote-unquote win. But if your lead's playing really well and you're scoring second, third shot type of thing every end, your lead could theoretically carry you to a win in this type of format now.
That's true. And I think this format actually lends itself really well to coaching and doing some debriefing and chatting with players on how things work, because in a real game, I would definitely want my lead to feel valued, even if their bowls don't count. So, you know, with them thinking, okay, I get 3 points for being the closest when everything's said and done, and I want to set up my head so we can get second and third. That should be any game. Like, a lead should feel that, you know, if I get second and third, even if I don't get shot, or if I get shot, it's just that extra bonus on top. And then one other thing that I always noticed, you need to be reaching with your bowls, because touchers count so much. Even if you miss, and even if you may make a mistake and move stuff around, if you get that toucher, you get 3 points. So you always want to be reaching. You always want to be at least to the jack, if not further, as short bowls get you nothing. And in a real game, I would say the same thing to my players. I'm like, short bowls are going to get you nothing. Make sure you're reaching or behind. And this just emphasizes that even more by saying you get points if you touch it.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about that aspect of sort of the plotting or strategizing your bowls, sort of as you're saying, where short bowls obviously don't get you much or anything. And really, if you're, as you're saying, you're a couple feet through, maybe you do trail the jack or you sort of clip it on your way by, that is worth the points. So it's definitely, as a lead, you almost have to almost overemphasize the being through there. And then that is a good tendency to sort of teach someone, honestly, is if you're constantly there or slightly through, it's not a bad tendency to have. And specifically this format, where it's even more important, might sort of drill it in a little bit more for a player in a regular game, where they really are going to be there really through the head, giving their skip the good support that they need.
Yeah. I coach a lot of players where there's almost a fear, if they're a front end type player, there's a fear of changing things around. You know, well, I drew a toucher or I drew something really close. I don't want to disrupt that, so now I'm a little wide or I'm a little short or I'm too afraid to nudge that. You know, this should teach you, it's like, just don't be afraid. Make sure you make solid shot after solid shot after solid shot. If you move things around, it happens, but at least you're there. At least you're trying to make an effort to contribute to the head and make things better, even if things may shift around and on you. That's the nature of the game.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to phrase it, that it's just a different frame of mind or sort of seeing the game slightly different. So it'd be interesting if this format can sort of expand or go different places in the future, because I'd love to play it out here or see it played in different spots than maybe just Ontario there, and sort of have people embrace the different styles where you really get to play and see different types of lawn bowling.
I agree. And I think with our interview with Rob, the founder and president and CEO, I don't know what the official title is for him on that, but he really would love to see it grow in Ontario and kind of maximize growth. And then if other provinces are interested, you know, hold qualifiers, like events out in other provinces, so that we can have one final championship match of all the best teams across Canada. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the big picture dream, and sort of seeing the framework of it this year, that definitely would be a possibility. You just have to get sort of those movements going in different provinces, where if I do have sort of that following here in Saskatchewan, I might spearhead something out here so that I can get to play it. But we'll have to see sort of what the next year comes here.
Cool. Yeah, interesting format. I'm really impressed. I didn't get to play in it because I was streaming it, but it was always interesting to watch and chat with people after, and they say, you know what, this is actually pretty cool. Not a bad format.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that most of the people that I've talked with that played in it, they enjoyed it so far. And a lot of it's just getting used to a completely different version of lawn bowling, because really, if you sort of, as we've touched on, it is a very different format where you have to kind of learn the ins and outs, and sort of, as we talked about the strategy part of it, I think it's something that a lot of people are going to have to play a couple times before they really comprehend how to fully play it correctly and optimally.
Agree. Yep. Cool. Mike, so part of the reason we've had some growth on this channel is because of the videos we've been pumping out. We have some new stuff that's been posted to our channel. Technical difficulties is one that I've been working on for the delivery. And we've been messing around with TikTok and YouTube shorts to throw together some just quick, really short, funny videos that we think people would really like to see. And it's actually taken off. What's your opinion on the growth that we've had so far?
Well, I've loved the growth that we've been seeing. I know the videos and stuff that me, you, and Luke have talked about sort of in the background for quite a while, and now with sort of restrictions being lifted, everything like that, that was a lot of our, I guess, what was preventing us from being able to do a lot of things we've been talking about. So I personally have loved to be able to make the videos and see that we're starting to see that growth that we've been sort of seeking for the last, what, almost 2 years that the podcast has been going on here. So, it's been great to see. I know we've got a few things in the bank coming out here fairly soon, like the TikTok shorts. They're fun little videos to sort of get a little bit of comedy out of it, but we're trying to obviously throw in the lawn bowling touch. So we've got nice shots being made, or, well, we've got some stuff coming. We'll just let you see. You can kind of experience it yourself, and you'll get to see what we're kind of going after there.
Yeah. I'm excited. Some of the ideas that we've just been tossing around, talking between the three of us, it's some fun stuff. It's some funny stuff. If you haven't seen the first one, it's actually from the Phoenix. Eric Gallipo throws just a perfect weighted shot to do a triple. To score, and we just made a video game theme about it. You're that good at playing video games, you can make those shots no problem. So we've got some more fun stuff coming down the pipe, so make sure you subscribe and get notifications from our channel. Follow us, because we'll be sharing it around, so you guys can see all these kind of fun little videos that maybe you'll enjoy, and maybe it'll entice some people that have never considered lawn bowling before, just to take a look and say, hey, what is this game? That's really the ultimate goal.
Yeah, I think the TikTok and shorts format is a way that we're going to kind of be able to leak over to non maybe lawn bowling specific people. So as you're saying, sort of get a little curiosity about what are they actually doing in this video where this person makes this really nice shot. I think that's kind of one of the ways you can get some people in is via curiosity. So I think having those other videos that you've been sort of putting out with like the technical difficulties, that's also going to have that video in our channel for if someone does click over to say our channel, they're going to be able to go and watch those videos and sort of get more of the background or the understanding of what you're talking about or what lawn bowling actually is.
Yeah, and I've been really excited with the feedback we've been getting for technical difficulties. Comments, criticisms, discussions. I've had emails from people where they want to ask questions. They want some further information. Some are just really eager to say, hey, when's the next one coming out? So it's a lot of pressure to get that filmed, edited, and put out. But like I've promised, the next technical difficulties will be coming out in the next couple weeks. We've obviously had some really awful weather here in Ontario, rain and flooding in some areas. So as soon as it gets sunny, I'll be out there filming that one, putting that together and posting it. And our own Michael Petulli has been working on his own series, which will be super, super important to building our channel and giving you guys information on top of what we've been putting out already.
Yeah, we've had slightly better weather out here, so I've been out doing some filming, starting some work on my series is going to cover equipment in lawn bowling, so we're going to call it the Equipment Shack. So I'm take you guys out to the shack, and we're going to kind of just review the different types of equipment you have in bowls and how you can better utilize them. So we're going to talk about the bowls, the mat, even the jack, different things like that. So there's lots of little, I guess, strategy things that you can be taught about the different pieces of equipment in lawn bowling. So that's sort of what my series is going to cover over a length of time, is all the different types of equipment and what they can offer you as a player. So that's what, to blow it out of the bag, I guess, that's what mine's going to be about here in the coming future. I've been trying to get videos edited together. I'm not quite as proficient as Daryl. He's quite the wizard when it comes to video editing and the technical stuff. So hopefully my video kind of adds up to yours, or is right on par with yours.
It's fun to do, but it is stressful when you're trying to get everything lined up, audio and everything you're putting together. But I'm excited to see your video. I'm excited to see what you put out there. And obviously, I mean, you can't put toothpaste back in the tube. So now that you've put it out there, you're locked into it. So,
yeah, no, I put it out there. So I'm going to have to put something together. I'm most of the way there. I've sort of gave you updates as I've gone along. So I'm most of the way there. I've started editing the video. It's not too far off. So somewhere sprinkled in with technical difficulties, probably over the next, I'd say, month or so, you'll probably get a video from me as well about lawn bowling equipment.
Really exciting. And like we've said, we've had a lot of ideas for putting videos out there. But not only from us, we want to hear from you guys. So if there's stuff that you want to see, like we put out, obviously, the technical difficulties series. If there's stuff that you want added on to that, maybe more in depth. I've talked a little bit about, say, visualization and breathing and different things that you can do during your delivery. If you want those expanded, if you want videos on other stuff, strategy, whatever it is, let us know. You know, send us a message on here in chat. Check our email, hit us on socials, Facebook, wherever it is, and just let us know what you want, and we will be doing our best to make the videos that you guys really, really want to see.
Yeah, if like you essentially gave us any sort of an idea, even we can probably run with it and either make a video or a short if it's something where you just like, oh, you should have a shot like this. Whatever it might be, we're pretty creative guys. Me and Daryl and Luke sometimes is pretty creative, I guess. But the three of us probably can run with pretty much any idea and make any sort of video. So if you have an idea that you want to see or a certain topic that you want covered, let us know, because we're always open to anything. And if it's something that we believe needs to have a video made about it, or needs to have a little more coverage about it, it's definitely something we're open to creating videos for.
Yeah. I'm super excited. We've seen some growth. We're really confident that we're going to hit that 1,000 subscriber mark this year. And really, it's the sky's the limit after that. We don't know what goals we're going to have after that. We don't know where this channel is going to go after we hit that 1,000. But that's kind of that benchmark for this year. We're steamrolling right towards it. And after that, I'm just really pumped to see where we can take this. Not only in Canada, but around the world. See if we can actually get that bowling audience to come and discuss bowls with us.
Yeah, it's exciting to get that 1,000 mark, because it really does open up a lot of avenues for us. And then it would really, once things are back to normal competition-wise across the world, we enjoy looking at the international events, anything like that too. So it's really a worldwide thing for us, where once we do have the 1,000, things get back to normal, we're going to be covering as much and anything we can when it comes to bowls. So it's kind of just an exciting look ahead at this point, where we just need to get that train to 1,000 and we'll just be ready to keep on trucking.
Absolutely.
So I think the other topic we were going to cover here was something I'd sort of just asked you about the other day, and it was just sort of, we are getting near the end of the season, so we're pretty much at the end of September here. Most clubs in Canada start shutting down usually the last week of September. I know some play into October, depending on sort of the weather of the region. Like Regina Lawn Bowling Club's last day is today. Like our club wind-up is this afternoon, so I know it's the last day that we're bowling here. But I know other players, but regardless, I digress. The question I sort of had for you is, what do you do to sort of wrap up a season or end off a season? Because like me, when I was a more competitive player, the way that I would sort of end a season is I would usually pick a tournament, try and play in something late in the year to get one last tournament, maybe like after Nationals, something like that, to play one more time kind of competitively. And then I would usually sit back after the season and I'd do maybe a review or like a self-assessment. So if you want to check out Daryl's video about self-assessment, that's sort of when I would do my self-assessment every year, is I would do it at the end of the year. I'd sort of say, what did I do well this year? What didn't I do well? What was I struggling with? What could I work on? So what sort of was your process for the end of the year, Daryl, when you would stop bowling each season?
I'll say much of the same. I try to get something in where I know it's competitive. I know it's going to give me a lot of feedback on how I'm doing. Go up against players that I know have been playing really well this season, see where I stack up. I'd also try to get another training session in, and it's not about a training session to build my skills. It's more, like I said in my video, and like you said, getting that assessment in and just saying, okay, you know, how is my drive? How is my draw? And I might not do the full-blown every single piece, but I get the basics in and just say, you know, okay, here's where I stand today, and where do I want to be when I kick off next year and get in there. So it's a lot of debrief kind of stuff. How was my year? How was my last tournament? Did I hit all the goals that I wanted to hit? Did I struggle anywhere in particular? And is there something that I really need to either find out over the off season, or find someone that can help me, like another coach? Talking to someone about mental skills or nutrition, maybe hit the gym. Like, maybe I was exhausted all the time, or maybe, my knees were hurting and my back was hurting. Maybe I need to actually hit the gym and fix those kind of things. So a lot of it was just a really comprehensive debrief on my whole year. And then move into winter, I want to start planning for the next year and say, okay, this is where I ended off. This is how I felt. Where do I want to go the next year?
Yeah, it's always something I've thought about near the end of the year. Like, how do you kind of make usage of that last month of the season? Because me personally, when I was highly competitive, like on the national team, everything like that, once I was back from Nationals the end of August, I think there was 1 year where I literally didn't touch a bowl once I was back from Nationals the end of August. So in Canada, we do have September is probably still one of our best months to bowl because it's honestly not as warm. So if you're wanting to not be out there and sweating like crazy when you're playing in the afternoon, maybe you do sometimes get more mild days in September. So it's a motivation thing for me, I know, to try and make usage of that whole season. Specifically in my more recent years, I've started to try and play in those tournaments, as I was saying, and really reflect on how my seasons went or what I want to try and work towards in the future years, because we do have September, although it's late in the year and the season's essentially done, we still have that time to use. So I feel like instead of just getting ready for the winter and hunkering down 2 months early or a month and a half early, you really do need to try and make usage of the time there. And as you're saying, sort of plan out what you're going to maybe do in that off season, because if you need to change nutrition, go to the gym, whatever it is, that reflection, maybe late in the year, you're going to be able to pretty easily pick out what you need to change or what you could work on in the next 5-6 months of hibernation that you're going to have.
Yeah, and things like that are really tough if you're doing it by yourself. It's a lot easier if you have a coach, if you have someone you can rely on, even a mentor, just to chat with and say, you know, hey, this is where I wanted to be this year. Maybe I hit it, maybe I didn't, maybe I exceeded it. Where do I go from here? What's my next goal? What's that next benchmark that I need to hit? And then from there, you're kind of saying, okay, here's where I am, here's where I want to be. How do I get there? And trying to find over the winter all those tools, all those bits and pieces that you can put together so that when the season comes around the next year, you're ready to go. One big thing, and we struggle with this in Canada, is we don't have any really good quality indoor surfaces. If you're in BC and you have PIBC, you're lucky. Take advantage of that all you can. I know I would if I was trying to get some work in over the winter. But for everybody else, it's try to find whatever you can. If you can hunt down a decent surface in your area, and even just once in a while, getting out and rolling some bowls just to loosen up, keep that feel, that can be really, really important for you. But like I said, it's so hard to find that kind of stuff in Canada.
I guess that's a question I've always sort of had. We've never really had this conversation on this topic before. What is your opinion on short mat? Would you say it's a beneficial thing to seek out? Because it is very, very similar to lawn bowling. But would you say that it's something that people should seek out, as you're saying, find that surface? Or is it kind of more of a detriment because it is quite a different game?
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on it, because there's a lot of times where the preferred way to play short mat is that lock stance. You know, you have your step, so you're inside the box. You know, you're not touching any of the lines to make your bowl illegal. And then you're rolling. I always try to actually do a really small, condensed delivery. But you really have to keep in mind, it's like, what are you getting out of this? Are you just out here for fun, so it doesn't matter? Are you out here to really keep yourself going? Then you really need to focus on what you're getting out of it versus the short mat itself, because it is different. It's a different style. But I think it's beneficial if you don't have anything else. Like, if you can't find a surface where you can play full length, or at least some decent length, and do a full delivery and get that motion in, I mean, short mat is an alternative if you can find it.
Yeah, like, I know that's the only alternative I have out here in Saskatchewan, so that's where we've never had that conversation before, and I was wondering what your sort of opinion on it was, because I've played it a few times. I don't mind short mat. It's kind of what you're saying, where the lock stance, or having to sort of follow the other little rules that short mat has, makes it such a different or hard to follow game for me, that the few times I've played it, if I'm just out there for fun, wanting to maybe go once a week and then just see some of my lawn bowling friends that play short mat in the winter, that's kind of where I just get more of a social aspect out of it. When it's the more serious competition part of it, I've kind of struggled to really get into it or enjoy it as much. So right. Yeah, it's kind of a weird one there for me, because it's the only option we have in Saskatchewan, as I said, but you kind of have to make do with what you got, I guess.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, we need some wealthy benefactor out there to, you know, drop some money on the provinces so they can build at least one indoor facility. I think it would really revolutionize the game here in Canada if we could get some more actual full-fledged indoor facilities. Because our season is so short, it would extend it. It might not be the best thing in the world, but it would be, I personally think, just revolutionary for us to not only keep the sport going, but to grow it as well.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that's really missing in the overall kind of growth of bowls for Canada as a sport, is we are a country that unfortunately is winter half of the year, essentially. So for us to really have a sport that's essentially a summer predominant sport, we have to kind of embrace using that other part of the year as well as we can. And I think revolutionizing it is a good word for it. If we had access to indoors from two-thirds of the provinces, even, or most of the provinces, it would be a huge deal for a lot of people, because you'd be able to play for, instead of 4 months a year, you'd be able to play for maybe 7-8 months a year. And that's a big difference, to be able to play two-thirds of the time rather than a quarter of the time. So I think it's a huge deal. It's something I know that's been a big Bulls Canada kind of project, trying to get indoors all across Canada, but it's kind of easier said than done, because it's not cheap to A, build an indoor, B, maintain said indoor, yep. And then really it's you kind of run into all the logistical problems of a normal club, except I'd say you probably amplify it more, because you have to physically own a building and all of the everything that goes along with that.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. I know there's a few people out there that I've talked to that are really trying to get indoor started and have some business plans and have some ideas. But yeah, it's just finding that initial flood of money, which obviously if you're a lawn bowler in Canada and you know, it's hard to get even for a club that's been around for 100 years, to get that initial funding to kick off the project, it's near impossible. It's so difficult to get recognition for our sport and to get it kicked off like that.
Yeah, I know it's a massive struggle. Like, I think it was Edmonton had the Edmonton Indoor. They've talked about getting an indoor complex built there for years, and I think they had a pretty substantial amount of money, and logistically they just couldn't make it work, is kind of what I understood, is that finding a property and being able to build somewhere in the actual Edmonton area wasn't something they could figure out because it was just that cost prohibitive. So yeah, it's a tough one. The one that I've always kind of wondered about, and I'd like to see if we could ever kind of expand on it, as I know in Europe, specifically the Netherlands, like I've played a few times in the Netherlands, they bowl in the winter and they have rollout carpets similar to short mat, but they're actually wider and longer. So they're essentially kind of like a smaller lawn bowling rink that you can just roll out in a school gym. So I've looked for specifics on it. I can't seem to find any of the bowls websites that talk about it other than short mat. So I'd love to sort of get the specifics of what they're using. It might be something I have to actually message my friends in the Netherlands and be like, what is this that you guys use? Because I think it's something that, if we're talking about in between, it might be something that a lot of provinces, assuming it's not crazy expensive either, to get a couple of these mats. And then you could kind of have a small club where it's a lot easier to rent out a school gym for a couple hours a week than it is to build an indoor and worry about everything that comes with that.
Yeah, we're Canada, I think for lawn bowls, we're the land of compromise and band-aids and trying to make things work. So do what we can.
Yeah, good quote there. The land of compromise and band-aids. That's our new slogan. Send that one to Bulls Canada. Get that put on the website there. That's great. So was there anything else we really wanted to cover here today?
I don't think so. Like we've said, you know, we appreciate every single person that comes in and watches our shows. Those that have been watching our videos, fantastic. Keep an eye out for new ones coming out. Share them with your friends. Share them with your clubs. We think they're really beneficial to every player out there in Canada and beyond. They're really good topics to talk about. And if you have comments and stuff you want, let us know. That's really what we want. We want feedback.
Yeah, no, we appreciate anybody that comes out to watch our videos. It's hugely important to us, sort of as we've talked, I think, a couple times now about getting to that 1,000 subscribers. Everything like that is a big deal to us. I guess another reminder, if you're here watching, definitely click like, comment, subscribe. Any interaction with us is great because it does help us out immensely. So please do. And I guess with that, I wish all your bowls are tushers.